This is KVNF's regional newscast for Monday, June 7th, 2021. I'm Gavin Dahl. After 4 months of silence, Hotchkiss Mayor Larry Wilkening announced Friday the retirement of Marshal Daniel Miller. The vehicle accident and arrest of Deputy Marshal Kelsey Shumway and the termination of Deputy Marshal Chad Lloyd. Back in February, Shumway was involved in a car wreck in a vehicle that was allegedly stolen. The Delta County Independent reports at that time she and Lloyd were placed on administrative leave and the Paonia Police Department began helping with coverage on a freelance basis. Things got quiet after that with all related meetings regarding personnel matters conducted in executive session. Details of Marsha Miller's retirement have not been made public, but according to the town's HR policy, the mayor can make personnel decisions if there is technically no department head. Deputy Shumway faces allegations of motor vehicle theft, DUI, careless driving, failure to report an accident, and trespassing. She's also accused of misdemeanor harassment and domestic violence. Further details of the charges are unclear. One staffer remains in the Hotchkiss Marshal's office, so coverage will be provided by the Delta County Sheriff's Office. A job posting for a new marshal is now available at townofhotchkiss.colorado.gov. On Friday, Governor Jared Polis announced the first winner of Colorado Comeback Cash is Meade resident and health worker Sally Sliger, who plans to save money for retirement and help her sons pay for their education. Colorado will award $1 million prizes to 5 weekly winners for a total of $5 million as part of its program to incentivize getting vaccinated. The money for the lottery comes from the CARES Act, passed by Congress last year. The Denver Post reports Colorado's $1 million inoculation incentive has not sparked a surge in residents getting a vaccine as hoped. The program is based on Ohio's, where the number of people who received their initial vaccine jumped 33% in the week after the state announced its giveaway. CDPHE Immunization Branch Chief Heather Roth said the state saw a little bump in new vaccinations following the lottery announcement, but it has leveled off since. Polis is hoping the lottery will have a larger impact as winners are announced. Many people with disabilities who are eligible to receive COVID vaccines are not physically able to travel to vaccination sites. So Colorado health agencies have responded by casting a wide net to identify fire departments, ambulance services, and other providers who can bring vaccines directly to homes. Reaching some residents, including people experiencing homelessness who are unable to travel but not already connected to services, continues to be a challenge. Eric Gladys reports.
State health agencies are continuing to help people with disabilities who are physically unable to leave their homes to get COVID-19 vaccines, but work is still needed to reach some of the state's most vulnerable residents not already in Medicaid and other databases. Bonnie Silva with the Colorado Department of Health Care Policy and Financing says so far, local vaccine providers have been tapped to serve almost 95% of the state's identified homebound population.
Our goal was, how do we leverage local solutions where those are in place? And so literally going county by county, region by region in Colorado so that we could understand what local solutions they had in place and how, as a state entity, we could support them.
Silva's team surveyed city and county health agencies and identified fire departments, ambulance services, and other providers who were able to bring vaccines directly to homes. Vaccines are administered to homebound residents and anyone else nearby who wants one. To reach people of color and traditionally harder-to-reach communities, Silva says regional agencies worked with trusted voices, including church leaders and nonprofits, including ARC of Colorado and the Colorado Cross Disability Coalition. Silva says the biggest blind spot continues to be people who are homebound or experiencing homelessness and unable to travel, but are not connected to services. She encourages all Coloradans to help her team reach those who want vaccines by calling their toll-free hotline, 1-877-COVAXCO or 877-268-2926.
Call on behalf of maybe a neighbor or a friend. Just really make sure that every Coloradan who wants a vaccine is able to get one and to hear that we have the infrastructure in place to make sure that they are, in fact, able to get it.
The Colorado Department of Health has issued a request for proposals to find a single vendor to manage the work of getting health services to the state's homebound residents over the longer term. The contract is expected to be awarded by mid-July. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
June is Dark Skies Month. With a lot of related activities, NUCLA and Naderita in Montrose County have just been designated as International Dark Skies Communities. KVNF's Kate Redmond speaks to Deb Stieber of the West End Dark Sky Alliance to learn more.
NUCLA and Naderita at the west end of Montrose County just won your application and has been formally designated as an official International Dark Sky Community. This was an 18-month application. Can you tell us what that entailed?
First of all, we had to get lighting ordinance in place. The towns happened to be in a position where they were kind of updating their old ordinances anyway. So I saw that as an opportunity to ask them if they would consider dark sky friendly type ordinances and explain to them about International Dark Sky Association and the potential that if we did get our ordinances in place, we could then be eligible to apply for an International Dark Sky designation for our communities.
And so the town council got behind you, and what did they do to support the application? Did they set about to changing the lighting in the towns?
They had already changed some of their street lighting, both communities had, because of the savings. So they were not unfamiliar with the advantages.
Talk about some of the IDA dark sky friendly guidelines. Is the lighting LED? Does it mean that there are special hoods over the street lights so that it doesn't bleed up into the sky? What's that look like?
The biggest thing to stress is the shading so that the light is directed downward, and then the brightness of the lights too. They did lower some of the brightness to around 3,000 Kelvin.
There's a period of phasing in for individual property owners, and you also mentioned there's assistance for them to make the transition?
Yeah, that's the ideal. West End Dark Sky Alliance would like to raise money to help people who want to change their lighting out. The towns themselves have to comply within 5 years. The residential people, they don't have to change unless they're making improvements or they're replacing a light. So at that point, we're hoping to educate everyone, and we're hoping that people will voluntarily change.
You mentioned also pursuing an eventual Western Slope Dark Sky Reserve. What would that look like?
We are trying to convince San Miguel County and Montrose County to also adopt IDA-friendly lighting ordinances for the county. Then what our plan is, we'd like to have from the Uncompahgre Plateau and basically Telluride all the way to the Utah border become a reserve.
Because Nucla and Naturita are just 4 miles apart, they were designated as one dark sky community. For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
That does it for Monday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.